Hello, my sweet, sweet followers, if I can call you that, but I know you're listeners. Welcome to episode 2 of Cal Griffin and Friends. I'm going to introduce the podcast now, even though I have introduced it in the actual podcast. Today on my podcast will be Luca, barbershop owner, DJ, all-around nice chap. We talk about how he got out of Taunton, how he made it DJing, how he made it in the barbering industry. We just have a good chat amongst friends. So if you like it, remember to give a rating and subscribe. Cheers. Hello and welcome to episode 2 in Cal Griffin and Friends. Thank you if you listened to the first episode. I really appreciate it if you gave a review. Thank you very much. This is episode 2 and sat opposite me, I have barber extraordinaire Luca Chitty. How you doing, mate?
All right, mate.
Yeah, not too bad. How was your head after last night? Because I did see you out of the cabin, didn't I?
Yeah, mate. It was an interesting night. We literally popped over to Hubbox because they did their like press launch night. So like local businesses went in and like stuff like that, and they said free bar, and it just ended in tears, really, mate. So I'm in the doghouse this morning, but it's all good.
So I've got you here just to talk about, really, like, I've got a bunch of stuff that I want to talk to you about. I want to start off because you did get into music,
yeah,
didn't you? So you're from Taunton,
yeah.
To start off with,
yeah.
How did you get into music, really? Because you're a DJ. I don't know if you... Were you in bands when you were younger at all?
I used to, like... I wasn't really in a band. I stepped in a couple of times and did vocals because, like, a few of my mates were in, like, metal bands and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I used to go to, like, their practices all the time, and so I kind of knew all the songs, and, like, I just used to step in when the vocalist couldn't make it, not to gigs or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, do you know what I mean? Like, in the practice room, I was that guy. Like DJing, when I was at school, I used to save my pocket money and buy like DJ Mag. I used to buy two magazines, and one was like Dirt, which is a mountain bike one, and like motocross and stuff like that. And then the other one was DJ Mag, and that was literally like my favourite. Like, I used to love it, and I used to Skype school, go in the record shops, and I've just always loved like DJing, everything about it. Like when I was younger, it was just like the coolest thing on the planet. So my mum bought me my first set of decks when I was 14, and I just started on vinyl. I used to Skype school, go around my mate's house. And he used to have a set of decks as well, so I used to like take my vinyl in my backpack, cycle to his house instead of going to school. And then we just used to, sit in his room and smoke weed and mix all day.
The dream.
So that was my teens, really. The further on, the older I got, I was like, I started making mixes, started recording them onto tape.
Right.
That's how old school ago it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember like there was a DJ in Taunton called Marcus Gauntlet, and he was just like, he was big time, mate. Like he always played funky house, and he was like older than me, so I was just like, he was like the coolest bloke ever. I remember I saw him in town once, and I remember I used to carry the tape round of one of my mixes, and that was when I was like mixing hard house, which is when it was like big hard house back then. Bit of trance, drum and bass, and I got into funky house like later on.
Yeah.
And it was just funny. I just saw him in town. I had the tape on me. I was like, finally. I was like, you listen to this? I was like, 15. Like, he was like, yeah, no worries. Obviously never listened to it.
Well, you never know. You never know.
I know Mark, well, he probably did listen to it and thought, this is crap. fucking hell. The older I got, like the more I got to know Marcus, and like we ended up playing a few shows together, like, and putting on a couple of events, and yeah, it was just really good. Now I started DJing a lot at free parties,
yeah,
and that was when I first started sort of playing on big sounds, sort of, you know, like 20k like sound systems and stuff like that, and higher. And there, that was with my mate Krause. We used to go back to back, and he's always been like a really super, super talented DJ. Like, he knows his music. He can mix anything,
right,
and mix anything into anything, and it's like seamless.
I've seen people guys.
Yeah, he's like one of those like DJ EZ people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
just like super brainy and knows music. Like, so yeah, we used to play together. Then we started producing together, and we did like bits and bobs. And then we wanted to concentrate on like different sides of our music. So I, like Krause, we were mixing dubstep a lot of this time, and Krause, he liked a lot of like really fucking heavy, screechy sort of dubstep. And I liked the more sort of like 140 BPM, 4/4, like banging sort of like fun.
I know,
like,
you
more
mean,
the fun side of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I started producing a lot of that. There was nothing bad about it. We just sort of went our separate ways, but we were still doing like DJing together, but just producing separately. Then we both got signed. We went on tour together. Like, we toured the States together, played some mad shows over there. We did that twice.
That's ridiculous. Who did you sign for?
I signed for Dub War, which is an American company. So they signed me when I went out there.
Right.
Which was fucking mental.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Like, yeah, I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I was playing shows like, I was playing with like Skrillex and like Palm Springs and like playing all these like mental shows like Polymadrone and like, yeah, just all the massive, like, you know, Datsik and,
you know,
all these people. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? Like, I'm just a lad from Somerset. Like, I'm like, and I was going over there and I was walking in supermarkets and like the girl sort of like serving me like beep, beep. And she's like, hey, you Luca? Like that. And I'm like, yeah. Oh my God, I'm coming to see you tonight.
That's
and
so
I'm
mad.
Like, fucking hell. So it went like massive really quickly. And then I started working with like vocalists and stuff like Sea Strikes in Bristol, Tom Piper, which is Andy C's MC.
Yes.
He's like a really good friend of mine, and we started doing collabs together. And then I had a couple of tunes on like BBC, like radio. Annie Mac played a couple of my tunes. I started opening up for Annie Mac and like Red Light and stuff like that, and then playing Glastonbury, and like the shows just got like bigger and bigger. And I played like G Stage at Glastonbury, which was like one of the most like mental things I've ever done, which, as you know, Glastonbury, the sound on that
so
stage
massive.
Is, oh, and you're right in, on the crowd as well. So like it's a pretty special like stage. And then I used to go to like Motion in Bristol quite a lot, and that was always like my dream. Like,
absolutely.
I know the owner, Tom, like really well. He's lovely, lovely man. Like, probably one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. And he put his heart and soul into Motion, and so it's got like a pretty special place in my heart. And I got an email through, and it was a Motion booking, and I was like, fuck. Like, and it was a room called The Cave, which is like, I don't know what it's called now. I haven't been there.
Would that be like the second room?
It's the first room as you walk in. It's like a little room.
I know it,
I think it's a bar now. I'm not too sure. And it was there. And they've got Function One in every room in that place. So I didn't care. Like, I did not care. And that was on a New Year's Eve. I played there. And it was just like unreal. And then I got another booking for there. And it was for the Tunnel, which is my favourite room.
Right,
Motion. Yeah. It's the sound. It's like, oh. And it's basically, it is what it is. It's
just like a tunnel.
Narrow like room. It's awesome. That was banging. And then I just got the booking of a lifetime. Like, you know, fuck all the festivals and go to America and Taiwan and stuff like that. Like, ignore all that. I got to play main stage. And it was like yeah, the most mental.
So ridiculous.
Like it was absolutely amazing. And I just thought, that's it. Like if I stop now, like I'm perfectly happy. Like yeah, I don't mind like hanging up the headphones and we did a full live set. Like Tom Piper came down, C-Strikes did vocals. Yeah, and we put on like a proper show. That was probably like my first like proper show.
Yeah, yeah.
It was hard work, but it was just absolutely like mind blowing. And it was to a rammed room. I played like 12 to 1, which is like
it's a good time.
Bang! Yeah. Like, I was like, shit, I got so pissed afterwards. I didn't really remember much, but yeah. So that's pretty much it, really. Yeah, and then I started working like collabing with someone else. Didn't work out with them. Ended up having a load of like music gone. Then he released it all.
Yeah, that was going to bring me on to my next thing. That's, yeah. Why did you stop? And you haven't really stopped because we've played a couple of shows together.
Yeah.
And we've got some in the future.
Yeah.
Sort of a hiatus then, I would say. Really.
Yeah, yeah.
But quite a long hiatus, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So that's why you stopped then, really.
Yeah, yeah. That was kind of like a big kick in the teeth. Because it was starting to like, well, I was playing everywhere. Like, I was playing like some nights, like on a Saturday, if I could time it right and be in the right places, I was doing like 3 shows in one night.
Yeah, that's...
And it's just like, it was just getting like really out of hand. So, yeah, so it was getting a bit much anyway, because I was trying to like juggle like my real work. Like, I was getting paid, like, but I never saw it as like a real job.
Yeah.
Because it was just too fun. Like, I was just partying. Like, awesome. So yeah, I started working with another guy and collabing. He ended up, you know, releasing a load of music. He signed to a label called Hench, which I was trying to get on for years.
Right.
And he used our music and signed with them. And I was like, yeah, I was really, really annoyed. And then from that, they went on to working with Flux Pavilion.
That was a fucking dick
touring
move.
With him. And then they signed to his label and stuff like that. So it was like, that was when I just went, oh, you know what? I don't need this. I've done what I've wanted to do.
Yeah.
I've played all over the world. Met some wicked people. I've had a great time. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so yeah, I just sort of hung up. I didn't even play. I used to run a night called Rubber Dub Dub in Taunton with Krause, and I don't even have anything to do with that now. We ran that for 8 years.
They still do it, do they?
Yeah, they still do it, yeah. And I just said to Krause, I was like, nah, I don't. I said, mate, I just want to put it all like not behind me, but like, I just don't want anything to do with it. I want to concentrate on like real life sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
which is fair enough after something like that.
Yeah, yeah, it was kind of like big kick in the teeth because the music was fucking banging as well.
Yeah. That's such a dick. Oh.
Yeah, like it was really good.
Fuck them.
Yeah, but they're doing really well now, like, which is brilliant. Like,
yeah.
You know, and they are fucking super talented as well. So it's like, you know, yeah.
Shit happens.
Shit happens.
Yeah. So that brings us on to our next subject.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing now? You're a...
Yeah.
Multi-shop owning barber.
Yeah, so I've always cut hair. I started cutting hair when I was, again, 14. I got a Saturday job in hairdressers. Just, that's all I wanted to do. Like, I just wanted to cut hair and play music. Like, that's all I cared about. Cut hair, ride bikes, play music. Sick.
Dream.
I'm happy with that. Yeah, I've always cut hair, so that was what I was doing, as well as DJing and doing motocross and riding mountain bikes and BMX, and I was kind of doing it all. And then I moved to Exeter about 4 years ago. I had to get away from Taunton. Like, it was just like proper like suffocating me.
Did you not see Lucas in Taunton, or did you?
No, I never. to be honest, mate, I never really saw my own shop anyway.
Right,
like,
okay.
It was never, I never really had like that self-belief that okay. I could, that I was able to do that. I was just quite happy just doing what I was doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I was doing like, you know, I was working with different brands and like getting paid really well for like doing shoots for them. I was like, cool, like I'll just do that. Like, I'm working a shop, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm happy. I wanted a bit more of like a simple life. So yeah, I moved to Exeter, and I set up a shop, Sandyman Chop Shop. It wasn't my shop, but I managed it. So I kind of like helped him. And then I just started, yeah, I was just busy. I was so busy. I came to Exeter and I was like sleeping in the shop because mm-hmm. like at first I couldn't afford to like get the train back to Taunton.
Yeah.
I didn't drive. Like, so I was just like sleeping in the shop and shit. Like, and I used to go into the gym down the road and like have a shower and stuff like that. And I wasn't even a member. Like, I used to sneak in. So yeah, I started like making loads of friends in Exeter. Cause I literally, I knew one person that was my mate Jimmer. Like,
yeah.
That was the only person I knew. So he introduced me to his mates and like, you know, I get his mates now my mates. Like, and you know, they're awesome. And I met a guy called Taggy, who's like one of my best mates, like, and he was just like, we were out one night and he just goes, why the fuck don't you open your own shop? And I was like, oh, fuck that, mate. Like, do you know what I mean? I was like, nah, like, I can't do that. He was like, why not? I was like, well, I don't know what the fuck, like, how the fuck do you get a shop? Like, I literally had no clue. I just knew how to cut hair. Like, and he goes, well, let's do it together. So I was like, all right. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Like, so I've always kind of been like that anyway. I'm like, all right, we'll do that. Yeah, all right. So yeah, I just, I looked for a shop, found a shop. I said, what about this one? He went, yeah, let's do it. It was available. We got it. He didn't have a clue what he was doing. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. You know, we got the staff and they're like my best mates now as well. Mm. And just went from there really, mate, and we were just fucking busy like straight away,
because that's how we met at Sandyman.
Yeah,
because I remember coming past, I was like, I need to get my hair cut now.
Yeah, it was such a cool fucking looking cool shop.
Yeah.
It was like the first of its kind in Exeter.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I came in, met you, and then I remember one night, this is how we officially like started talking. It was the launch night.
Oh my god, yeah, that
night.
Wild. Is that when like Pritch all came that down? Oh, yeah, mate.
And I remember your not the neighbour, but the woman that lived upstairs came down and was like, what are you doing? Having a party? And you were just like, it's a launch party for the barbershop. Shut up. There's like 60 people there just on the main road going, yeah.
Yeah, mate.
That was such a good night.
Yeah, that was wild.
Yeah, man.
Like,
and from then I just had to keep coming back.
Yeah,
introduce my dad to you.
Introduce
my brother. And we're all still, I mean, I'm still coming to you.
Yeah, 4 years later.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous. But going back, we'll come back to everything. You said about Taunton suffocating you.
Mm.
I did read a couple of interviews before,
obviously,
to get some. And was that like more mental health sort of stuff? Because I know you're a big mental health
activist. For sure. Yeah, for sure. Mainly, like, I never like sort of going into stuff that I don't know much about.
Yeah.
That I don't have experience. That's why I never talk about politics. Mm-hmm. I don't fucking know anything. Like, I just get on with my day and, you know, my view on that is just like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. Mm-hmm. No one does.
Yeah, no
like,
one does. So, no.
I'm not going to pretend. Like, so, I just, I started talking a lot about, I've never really been one to talk about like my feelings, which is a typical bloke thing to do.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So the older I've got, and probably the wiser I've got, and I'd probably say like the relationship I have now with my missus, I tell her everything. Like, she's my best mate, and I've never been like that before. I've never really had that,
mm-hmm.
And I've always had to be the strong one in my family and stuff like that. So I think that really, really affected me. And like my mind and how I process stuff. So as I've got older, I've suffered more with like anxiety, like social anxiety. I get that like really bad sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I can't even leave the house, but I sort of like deal with it a bit better now. And then depression as well. Like I suffered like years and years with depression. And then, yeah, I just sort of, yeah, just worked on it basically in my own head. And now I talk about it really openly.
Openly, yeah.
And if anyone like wants to talk about it, or I get like the inkling that someone does, like I kind of like press on that.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, because I know there's going to be people listening to this that maybe are suffering from the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there is.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just, yeah, it's mad. You talk about it and then just find someone that you can.
Yeah, it really is. Like, a lot of, you know, the prime thing, oh, easier said than done. Like, yeah. And that's just, it's just a cop-out. Like, it really is a cop-out. You're the only person that's in control of your body and your mind. I'm not saying it's easy, but it really is as simple as talking about it. Like there's no shame in like feeling a certain way, whether yeah. it's bad, good. Like there's no shame in having feelings. Like, and if you do have dark thoughts or like bad thoughts, you know, low thoughts and stuff like that, you need that person that you can talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that could be anyone. Like Samaritans, they're yeah. always there. Do you know what I mean? If you feel like you can't, I've phoned them before, like back in the early days, like, and you just talk.
Yeah.
Like it's
the
really
best thing
is,
to do is talk. Yeah.
100%. And too many people like bottle stuff up, especially being a man, because you just feel like, you know, you've always got this like thing, you know, over time that men have to be manly men and
yeah.
strong and, you know, hard. But that's like, it's not healthy, like,
no,
at all.
And that's what sort of pushed you to move.
Yeah.
Out of Taunton.
Yeah. So I just like had bad memories there.
Like, I hate that place anyway.
Yeah.
I fucking hate Taunton.
Yeah. It's got worse over the years as well, mate. Like it used to be such a lovely like little town, but like over the years, like, yeah, it's just sort of gone to shit, really. But, you know, like with past relationships and fucking shops and people that I knew, and like, you know, I've got a lot of my best friends are still there. Like, and I go back, I visit them, and my nan lives there, and my mum. But that's it. I go in and out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't stop there. Like, I go there for a reason, and then I'm fucking straight back out. But yeah, it was just suffocating me, and I was just like, I've got to get out of here. Like, and I think, I really do think if I didn't move to Exeter, like, well, I said in a past like interview that I did for Exeter Living, like, Exeter 100% saved me, like, mm-hmm. without a doubt. Like, and I'll say that forever. Like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
the best thing I ever did. And I don't, like, I've said this to like, my missus, my family and everything, I don't think I'd still be here if I didn't move to Exeter, 100%,
mm-hmm.
like, because I was just in a really, really bad place.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there you go. We'll go back onto the sandy man near Waller.
Yeah.
Lift it up a bit more.
yeah.
So, do you have any, like, biggest achievements that you had in that sort of era? Because we've got a couple of eras that we can go through.
Yeah, yeah.
So, we've got the sandy man era. What are your biggest achievements from there?
God, fuck me. Do you know what? I had... an amazing, I know, like, me and like Bones, the owners, we don't talk anymore for like specific reasons, but I had a great time like when I was there, and it was exciting, it was new. I think like one of my biggest achievements was proving to myself that I could make somewhere busy.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what I did, and without even knowing, mm-hmm. like just sort of doing what I do. Now I can like talk about it, and I know what I bring to a business and stuff like that,
yeah,
now,
absolutely.
But I was never business minded. Unknowingly I was.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think my greatest achievement was making his business really fucking busy and successful. And then as soon as I left, he ran it into the ground because he was a bad boss.
Which is unfortunate, yeah.
Really unfortunate. He had an amazing opportunity, and I did the hard work making it good for him. But hey, if you're you're a knob. Like,
he probably won't listen to this.
Yeah, so. Nah, I doubt he will. But yeah, you're a knob.
Too busy. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably say that. Another.
What? Don't be a knob if you're going to open up a business.
Yeah, don't be a knob. Just be good to your staff.
Yeah.
Like, just. I'm just like a good, great believer in treat people the way you want to be treated.
Yeah.
I don't want to be treated horribly, so I treat everyone else nice. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, everyone's, you know, everyone's doing their own thing. And
yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You bought Sam over from Sandy Man with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there any more? I can't remember.
Yeah, I bought pretty much all of them.
Yeah. So Luke and PJ have opened their own shop over the road.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah, yeah. I've always loved PJ. I never really knew Luke because he was like my replacement.
Yeah.
But we used to like sort of follow each other's work and that. But now I know him and, you know, I always pop in and see them. So yeah, they're great lads. Like,
they are.
Yeah, they're doing like something completely different with like the whole sort of social space, vegan sort of creative.
I won't get you started on the vegan stuff.
Yeah, so like, but yeah, it's, you know, it's great what they're doing and there's a market for it and yeah, I wish them all the best.
Absolutely. So then we moved into the Lucas era. So the first, when did you open? Because it was four years ago?
Yeah, 4 years ago in March.
This fucking March. Okay.
No, 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
3 years ago in March, yeah. Because 4 years ago I moved here.
Yeah.
And then I opened up a year later.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I remember coming in for that first haircut and I was like, what the fuck, mate? This is so sick.
Yeah, mate. That was,
sit down, get a beer.
I was so fucking proud of that shop. Like, it was such hard
to come back and see it just developing more. The more people you get, the more seats.
Yeah.
Like, you've just grown from 5 seats?
Four.
4 seats to however many now. Yeah, mad. Yeah. Mate. So good.
That was a mission. Because... like my dad's helped me like build my shop.
I was gonna say it's a family thing from day
one.
Yeah,
like my dad's retired, he's bored as fuck, like, and he's really handy. So literally, he was just like, "Yeah, let's do it." Like, and my dad is like, "Fuck me, mate!" Like, he is the biggest grafter. Mm-hmm. Like, we were doing like 12, 13, 14-hour days. And my dad's still there, like bashing stuff up, like, and I'm like, "Fucking hell!" Like, just texting, like, "Fucking get me out of here!" But yeah, like the first shop. Unfortunately, my dad only helped me for like a day because he was living in Barcelona at the time.
Right.
So he was gutted. He couldn't help me with that one, but. That was hard, mate. It's like, we were doing things completely the wrong way round. Like, we were painting before we were, like, cutting up loads of wood to put up on the walls. Like,
yeah.
And then, like, everything, you come in the next day and everything's covered in sawdust. You're like, fuck. we did that completely fucked. Like,
but it looks good.
Yeah, we did it in a month.
Yeah.
No, 2 weeks we did it.
So mad, mate.
That's just stupid. But, like, that's just, friends came in and helped us, like, you know, and people are coming and going and like just lending a hand. All the staff that all the boys were in with rollers,
yeah, mate,
would get pissed up on us, like, and like just fucking paint for hours. Like,
it's so good to see. Like, it was like, there's obviously supply and demand there, obviously.
Yeah,
you've had those 4 seats,
yeah,
obviously been booked to the rafters for, well, it's been 2.5 years since,
yeah,
and then you grew to those other chairs.
Yeah, literally, that was like. Well, that was a mission because we had to invest more money into the shop because the council owned the building but they wouldn't help us.
Right.
So I was just like, well, fuck it. Like, we need 2 more barbers. We need 2 more chairs. If we just get a demolition team in to knock that wall down and put up a temporary wall so that the shop can still run.
It?
Do you remember that?
Yeah,
the chipboard.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a chipboard wall. Mate, honestly, the amount of people, right, that come in. Bearing in mind, right, we probably lost about 3 foot of the shop, didn't we?
Yeah.
In length, because mm-hmm. of the room that they needed, the other side of the wall. So clients would come in, they'll be like, God, the extension looks really good.
Yeah.
Like that. And I'd laugh.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, it looks quality, mate. That wall looks so good. And I'm like, that's just a temporary wall. And they're like, oh, it's not finished. I went, mate, the shop's smaller.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a piece of plywood. What is
I'm like, really? Like, this is kind of being serious, but...
it's the aesthetic, man.
Yeah. And I was just like, I was like, okay, so when the wall does come down, people are going to be
going to look good, yeah,
over
yeah.
the ring piece about it. Yeah, and then that was a mission because the shop was just like filled with dust, like constantly, where they were just like, the wall was an exterior wall. We didn't notice. So it was about four bricks in depth.
Right.
So like, it was literally like jackhammers. Like, mate, it was wild, mate. But yeah, we managed to do that. They knocked the wall down, put a new roof on, and then me and my dad did the rest.
Right.
So we had to like, yeah.
That was that around the same time as you were, you had your homeless person interviewing?
Oh, mate, yeah. Yeah, it was, yeah. Because,
and before anyone listening goes, Luca doesn't like homeless people. That's not what we're saying.
It's not at all. It's not at all. And like, a lot of people get like the wrong idea of that. Like, it's not a case of not liking homeless people. Like, they're people.
Yeah.
But like, what I don't like is not having the help that I need when there's like, there will always be drug addicts. Like, you will never, like, do you know what I mean? And fuck me, like, they're going through a very shit time. No one wants to be a drug addict. No one wants to be homeless. Like, do you know what I mean? They're not in a good place. So it's like a fine balance of, right, I'm either, I'm going to be a knob, like, I should piss off, like, away from the shop, or just tell you to keep the noise down, or just like, I don't know, like, do you know what I mean? It's like a really difficult one. So some of them I let stay, and like, I'll go out there and I'll chat with them and stuff like that, because they're never a problem. And then other ones, they're like effing and blinding, they're leaving like beer everywhere, they're leaving needles, like, and there's little kids that come in my shop and use the alleyway, and it's just like, guys, like, come on.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Then you know, you call the, I never call the police per se, I call like, is it 101 or something like
that? Yeah, they're non-emergency people.
Yeah, so they're like, yeah, we'll send someone, and like, never happens. Like, so yeah, it's just a bit of a nightmare, but you find a losing battle, really, but, you know.
So, you've got the Exeter shop. Mm-hmm. You also had, for a while, Cheltenham.
Yeah, Cheltenham and Bristol.
Cheltenham and Bristol.
Yeah.
And you've also got Plymouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you were there today, weren't you? You were saying
I was,
before you came.
Yeah.
So, the Cheltenham and Bristol one, they were just temporary pop-up ones, weren't they?
Yeah, they were, like, basically, it was like a trial, so we didn't, the shop wasn't ours, like, it were, we went in and collaborated with other shops.
Yeah.
So the one in Bristol was a skate shop. I knew the guy, Darren, like the owner, and he was just like, mate, like, have you ever thought about coming to Bristol? And I didn't want to go to Bristol because I know some amazing shops in Bristol, like barber shops, and I'm just like, I'm not even going to try and compete with them. I'm not from Bristol. No one knows me there. Like, it's just pointless. So, you know, like, I was just like, I don't want to go anywhere near it. But I checked along the road and there wasn't really, like, that many, like, decent barbershops. I thought, oh, man, for the sake of, like, $5,000, like, investment, of, like, doing our little corner of the shop and getting the chairs, I was just like, I might as well just try it.
Yeah, yeah.
So we tried it. We were just starting to get to like a good point. We're starting to see like an increase, starting to make some money so we could pay off that debt. And then bang, the shop shut. The owner closed it.
Shit.
And I was like, ah, okay. So I didn't give, I didn't really care about that because I was getting knackered like traveling there all the time.
Oh yeah, you've done some mad.
Yeah, yeah. And I still wasn't driving then either.
Right.
So I was getting the train. It was just fucking shit. So I was just more worried about the staff. So there was, I had three staff there. So Rob, been in the game a long time. Like, and yeah, he got job like bang. Like, super talented. So I was like, oh, sick. Like, so he was happy. He's got family as well. And then one of the other lads, like, he was just fucking hilarious. Great character. Really talented young lad. He was fine with it because he wanted to carry on working in Weston, where he was from.
Right, yeah.
I was like, this is wicked. Now we got Josh. Like, and Josh, and like, I hate to say I've got favourites, right? But he was like, there's something so special about Josh, like, right. And I love him to bits, and he'd, like, great for me. I can say this to him now, but at the time, I was like, fucking yes. But he broke out of his missus,
right,
which was in Bristol.
Which is
so I was just good. Like, yeah. It was brilliant for me because I didn't want to lose him from my business. He was talented. He was a brilliant character. Like, we got on so well, and I just said, look, there's a space in the Plymouth shop, and it's yours if you want it. I know you've got to relocate. And he went, yeah, I'll pack my stuff now. And I was like,
nice.
What? He goes, yeah, I've got to find somewhere to stay. I went, right. So my missus, like Nina, she said, he can come and stay with us until we sort him a place. So we helped him, like, pay for his, like, month's rent and, like, deposit and stuff for moving as, like, a thank you. And, yeah, he's, like, he's been down there 2 years in April.
That's fucking mad, man. That's what I love about you lot. Like, you're all just such a tight,
yeah, knit
family.
We're all best mates. Like, yeah. We're literally...
Makes me wish I could cut hair, mate.
Yeah, but you get to come in and hang out.
This is true, yeah. Yeah.
So you don't see the other side of it when, yeah, we do argue.
Yeah.
But,
and is that the same with the Cheltenham shop or...?
Yeah, pretty much. There, I went into a tattoo shop. I know the owners really well. Like, they own No Regrets. And they've been in Cheltenham for a long time. They just had this massive space that they just weren't using. And he just said, Luca, you... have it, try it, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Didn't really work, like, in Cheltenham. I sort of took the risk. I thought, well, this is a really cool concept. It could, like, it's got potential to work. It looks sick. It's in a tattoo shop. I've always wanted a tattoo shop. I know it's not mine, but, you know, my shop was in that. And I thought it'd be really cool. And it was super cool. Great staff, like, the lads were brilliant. But it just didn't, the concept didn't work for that shop.
Yeah.
And one thing I've learned is that I think with Luca's as a brand, which I think that's what it is now, that's what it's turned into, it's no longer me.
Yeah, no, like, you can definitely call yourself a brand.
Which is what I wanted, like, I didn't, because eventually, like, fuck it, I'm just going to be an old fucker, like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, at the moment, I can still try and be cool. Like, do you know what I mean? I'm like borderline. Like, but yeah, like, I can still, like, hang on to that a little bit. But the older I get, like, you know, I want to pass it down. I want people to run it. And, like, you know, the Exo and Plymouth shop now, they've got managers. So it's starting to go in that direction, which is amazing because then I can focus on
other
little projects. Yeah.
Absolutely. And you being a barber as well, you've done some guest judging.
Yeah.
I saw, which was that for?
Oh, I've done all sorts, mate. I've done, like, all sorts of stage work and, like, for Barber Bash, and I've cut hair at Barber Connect, and I've worked with different brands like Apothecary, Johnny's Chop Shop, like, Babyliss, like, in the early days, I did work with Vogue and Vivian Westwood, and I was doing more of, like, the glamour sort of stuff, which was good at the time. So I was like 19,
yeah,
and I was a creative stylist working for an artistic team with fucking Vivian Westwood,
yeah,
and it was just a bit, like, mind blowing.
Mm-hmm.
I was working with, like doing catwalks, like, backstage at a catwalk, when literally the models come off and strip naked to get into their next outfit.
At 19, really, what more could you
19, mate. I was just like, this is the bollocks. Like, oh, mate, it was awesome. I was just standing there, like, sort of looking around with, like, this glazed look in my eye, just like, there's tits everywhere. Like, this is unreal. I've done all sorts. Like, I do, like, private lessons as well, like, private teaching. Every so often, I try not to do it too much, but, yeah, yeah, anything to do with the industry, man. I love hair. And I think I've helped my staff, like, sort of find their passion a bit more with being with this brand. I think it just, I try and encourage them, like, just to really just love what you're doing. Like, it's an amazing job to have.
Yeah.
So just enjoy it.
Like, and go about your team. that you've got in the Exeter shop. I mean, I've not met Plymouth Lock
because yeah.
I'm in Exeter, but your Exeter team, they're such a good fucking laugh.
Mate, like, they're brilliant.
The other night when we went to see Bass Hunter.
Oh my God, mate. Yeah, we went to see Bass Hunter. Just so we can clarify, like, just so that wasn't like a passing comment, we went and saw Bass Hunter, didn't we?
Probably the worst night of my life.
It was hilarious. He
cringy.
Yeah, he asked, I don't want to, like...
No, we're going there.
Okay. I don't want to like offend any girls like listening, but he got on the mic and he asked how many girls were getting fingered on the dance
floor. Oh, I forgot about
that. Oh, yeah, mate.
What?
I was like, who? Like, what? Who do you think you are, mate? That is minging.
Oh,
like,
no.
Christ.
I watched the video from Unit 1 back and I can't remember what song it was, but he changed the lyrics to like, oh, I can't remember, mate, but it was about fucking.
Oh, my God.
And he's
God.
Just a fat Swedish DJ.
Mate, he's like an old pervert.
Yeah, and he was wearing like his GoPro here.
Oh, mate, yeah, he had a chest mount on, didn't he? Like, mate, you're not fucking Tiesto.
Give it
like.
Like, you're playing in Exeter at Unit 1. Like.
Yeah, Bass Hunter, if you're listening, that would be amazing if he is. Yeah, like, yeah. Oh my God. Like,
I'll tag him in the description.
Mate, life made. Like, I've supported Skrillex, and now I'm slagging off Bass Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking fuck sorted. Off, but yeah, like, Tibby, like, the manager at the Exeter shop, like, he's probably one of the funniest, fucking honest, like, brutally honest people that I know, and he's just... amazing,
yeah,
and he loves Bass Hunter. I
thought that was a joke. No, when I got into the shop and he was like, "Yeah, I'm so keen."
Mate, he was so hyped, mate.
Oh,
and then he tried to meet him, and of course, like, did you see him like get escorted out?
Oh,
like,
yeah,
he was like a full on.
He played
celebrity.
Like half an hour, and then just like all the security were like had his
yeah.
head down.
Yeah,
and, like,
it's like
ran him out.
Mate, no one wants to see you.
Yeah,
like there was no one around him.
It's a name. It's two. We're here for two songs.
Exactly.
Play the songs. Fuck
yeah.
off.
Yeah. So, yeah, Tibby was so excited, and then he didn't get to meet him. Now he slags him off. He's like, yeah, he's a prick.
Oh shit.
Yeah, never meet your heroes.
No, never meet your heroes. Yeah. And you've got, as we said earlier, Sam, he's teaching now.
Yeah. So he, yeah, amazing. Like Sam, like when I first met Sam, again, like he's an usher at my wedding. I'm best man at his, like this
oh,
year.
Oh, we'll get onto wedding soon.
Yeah.
We'll get onto wedding soon.
So yeah, like me and Sam, like we've always been really close, like really, really close. And I think we've both had, I think the reason why we connect so much is that we both have like mental health problems. So when I first met Sam, he was going through like a bit of a dark stage of his life. And he just had this passion for hair. So I never knew it, but like, I'm quite good at like judging people.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's a good lad. Like, so I just said, look, just come and hang out in the shop. So he used to come down to Sandyman. He just used to hang out,
yeah.
Watch me cut air. I used to talk him through some stuff. And then he went up to SB Barber Academy. My mate Vicky and Ryan own it, up in Sunderland.
Right.
He went there, did a course with them. And he came back and he was fucking unreal. Like, he just needed a little tweak. And that's what Ryan and Vicky did. And it was just like, he came back and he was just so sick. And I said to Bones, I was like, we've got to employ him.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, because he was going through a bad time, he wasn't turning out to work. Like,
see, I remember
him.
That. I remember
yeah,
him.
Do you remember those
yeah,
times?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know, we've all been there, but I was just like so stressed out because like, I know how much, like I was sort of emotionally like attached to him now.
Yeah.
Like I cared about him. So like I was getting annoyed because he had such a good opportunity. And then Sam being Sam, you know, he didn't turn up. He went missing for like 2 days. I couldn't get hold of him.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what the fuck is he? Like, and then he just didn't come back. Like he just went, sorry, I won't be back. And I just felt like, now I know he was just embarrassed like to come back
because
of how he acted. But so he was working in like this little shop in Tynmouth and he was quite happy. And then made the best like text I was able to text was, I hadn't spoke to him for like a little while. I said, I'm opening up a shop in 2 weeks' time. I want you part of the team. Mm-hmm. And he just went, fucking mate, I am there. So like, yeah, that, like, the rest is history. Like,
oh, yeah.
We've just got closer and closer. And he's like, yeah, he's one of my best mates now, so.
Absolutely. And so they all don't feel left out. You've got Ollie.
Yeah.
Harry.
Yeah.
Robin as well.
Yeah, Robin
so,
as well. And
so
Connor.
Connor's back. He's back.
Connor's back.
Keep forgetting about that.
One of the originals.
What happened to his hair the other day? I saw it on your Instagram story.
Well, we all chipped in and gave him 150 quid if he'd shave his mullet off. We fucking hated his mullet.
Oh yeah, no, that's been an ongoing
yeah
fucking hatred since like, went to Australia.
We thought he looked like a crackhead with the mullet, and then we shaved his head.
Yeah, no, I drove past it and I was like, who the fuck?
Yeah.
It's Connor.
And realised he looks a little bit more like a crackhead.
Yeah.
Like, a crackhead that's in prison. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, so, nah, he's, like, we've got used to it now, but it's great to have him back. He went off travelling and, like,
oh, yeah.
I'll, again, I know Connor, like, I've known him for years now. I used to cut his hair at Sandyman.
Yeah.
You know, and then he learned how to be a barber, and I talked him into that and took him on as part of the team when we opened. And, you know, he's been with us, apart from when he moved away, he went up to, he came back from travelling, had itchy feet. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I've done the same. So he wanted to go up. Basically, his one of his favourite shops is a brand called Hard Grind.
Yeah.
My mate Colin owns the company, and the shop is just fucking, it's one of the best barbershops in the world, right, in my opinion. And he said, oh, I want to go up and work there. So I was like, right, I'm going to speak to Colin. So if that's what you want to do,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
I'll speak to Colin. So Colin was like, yeah, I'll have him up here. So he went up there. And you know what? Like, Scotland's not for everyone. Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't for Connor. I don't think, maybe it wasn't the right time for him. I don't know. But like, he just wasn't, he was happy at the shop. The shop's like phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But he just wasn't happy with his,
there's nothing in Scotland, is there?
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, so yeah.
I mean, I've not been there, but there's nothing in Scotland.
Yeah, I haven't been there either. Actually, no, I did a hair show in, no, not Dundee. That's where Colin's shop is. Oh, where was it? Glasgow. That's an interesting place.
Is it?
Yeah, if anyone is in Glasgow, they've got a rock club there that's three stories high. It is fucking,
it's not the Cat House, is it?
I don't know. I was so fucked when I went there. Like, it was unreal, mate. And like, the further up you go, the heavier it gets.
Oh, shit.
So, like, by the time you get to the top, it's, like, full on, like, Lamb of God, like...
Yes, sir.
Full on, mate. It's, like, awesome. But, yeah, so Glasgow, amazing city. It's, like, really cool city.
You have to go.
Yeah, you have to go. Sick. Just for that.
The most recent thing, I guess, for achievements, you had a second front cover of Barbary. Was it front cover?
No, I've had... Yeah, this where... I've got to try and remember. So my first like magazine feature was with Barber Envy, and that was like an inside cover, 2 pages, and that was like my first ever feature,
mm-hmm,
in a like printed magazine.
Yeah.
And I was just like, fuck, man, like, I think that was 4 years ago, maybe. Yeah, about 4 years ago. I'd never done an interview before. Like, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing.
Yeah.
Like, it was all really exciting. Again, I was kind of honest, but I was kind of a bit more professional. Like, I held back a lot more. And I think, like, when it comes to, like, my recent interviews, like, with Barbara Evo magazine. Yeah, Barbara Evo. Amazing magazine.
Yeah.
Like, if there's any barbers listening, just... yeah, subscribe to it and get it sent to your shops. It's brilliant. But yeah, I think now, like, I'm just completely honest. And I've always been worried about, like, oh, you know, I've always wanted to be liked.
Yeah.
And now, like, I'm a lot more confident in who I am. And if you don't like me, then you're not a nice person, because yeah, I'm a fucking nice guy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
And, like, I'm really, like, confident in saying that. And mm-hmm, I still get, like, really shy in certain situations, but, like, I'm so much more confident and happy in myself. So, like, when I do interviews, I'll just be brutally honest.
Yeah.
Like, and
that's the best way to be.
Yeah. And a lot of people have like emailed me like after reading like stuff that's been in Barber Evo and stuff like that, and said, like, oh, it was a really good read, like, thank you like so much. It was really inspirational. And like, to inspire someone, I've never really like come across someone like saying that I've inspired them. Like, I've never ever like come across that before. So I got like really, really awkward about it. And mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, like, well, how am I inspiring her? Like, what am I doing? And then the more I spoke to my missus about it and she explained the kind of person that I am, I was like, that's cool. Like, yeah, that's so sick.
Absolutely.
Like, so yeah, it was just absolutely amazing, man. Like, actually people like reading about you.
Yes.
Like, wanting to like read about you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the weirdest thing, because listening and reading are two very different things.
Yeah.
I think like you can listen to something and kind of go along, like cook your dinner, like, and stuff like that whilst listening.
Which I hope is what people are doing now.
Yeah, mate. Like, yeah. Making your dinner, having a wank.
Yeah,
like,
driving.
Yeah. Picking up dog shit, that like your puppies like done a shit on the kitchen floor. Like, yeah, anything.
But you have had, you've had a front page.
Yeah.
And then you had a feature the other day with, was it
all of
your team?
All the extra stuff.
So fucking good, man.
Yeah, man, that was like, that's probably the best, like, we went out there with that shoot. Like, we used a photographer called Poochie, best name ever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Poochie Pertle, like, what a name. So yeah, we used him, and it was purely, we used Matt Round as well. And I like to use like two different photographers, like one for like really edgy and then one for like super clean, professional, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So Matt Round is for that, like clean, always smashes it. He's like a one hit wonder, bang, gets the photo, like, nice. And it's perfect. And then you got Pooch, who's like super, super creative. Like, so you can just see his mind working.
Right.
Like, and me and Poochie work really well together. So I was just like, we had a feature like a year before last, and that was like our first one of doing haircuts. And that was with Matt Round. Fucking lovely. Like, really low light, like very focused lighting. And it was like, it was really clean and awesome. And that was like brilliant. That was like the Plymouth and the Exeter teams, like, first sort of, like, well, first experience of doing anything like that.
Okay.
So second time round, I was like, right, we're using Poochie and we're going fucking like
smash out the park.
Smash it. So, oh mate, we got the photos back, and it was just like, everyone's haircuts were just like, on the day, everyone was just buzzing. Like, the atmosphere and the shocks, like, you create it all in the shop and then go to the studio. Like, the atmosphere, mate, I can't even explain it. Like, they were so excited, so, like, you could literally slice the creative, like, flair.
Yeah.
Like, it was just unbelievable. And I was just like, they're going to fucking smash this. Like, and we got to the studio, and honestly, like, they were excited. Like, the models were excited. Like, the music was going. Like, we just put, like, house on.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah, I saw some of the videos.
Oh, mate.
And I used a friend of mine and Tyler's, Ollie.
Oh, right, yeah, Barry, cool. Yeah.
He's coming up to see Architects of Us next week.
Awesome.
I fucking love that kid. He's
funny. Yeah, lovely lad.
But those photos are so good. So, so good.
Yeah, we were like, super happy. And we're actually like, because one of my mates, like James Beaumont, he's the front cover.
Yes.
This month, which is amazing. Another Devon boy,
like,
local lad. So, like, you know, I text him just going, mate, fucking get in. Like, you know, another local lad, like, we're smashing it down here, which is brilliant. And literally, you open it, first, second page is like his work, and then you turn the page and it's like our feature.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck, sick, man. Like, we're right at the front of the mag. Like, the guys are just, and girl, like, they're just so, so happy. And this weekend on Sunday, actually, we're shooting with the Plymouth lot, so they'll be in
the next
issue.
Nice.
Which is,
fucking
awesome.
Sweet, mate. So recurring, well, you've been making callbacks to your fiancée.
Yeah, yeah.
If we will.
Yeah.
Nina.
Yeah.
we can talk a bit about her if you want.
Yeah, we can like, talk, yeah.
Are you saying she's like your... You go to her, you talk to her about everything.
Oh, yeah, man. Like, I always get like really emotional like when I talk about her. Because she's just like, yeah, she's... You know, apart from like my parents, like my family, she's the most important person in my life.
Absolutely.
Like, I'd be completely lost without her. I'd be in a different place, that's for sure. But yeah, I met her like really quickly with moving to Exeter.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know her. She didn't know who the hell I was. I didn't know who she was. I didn't know any of her history. She didn't know any of mine. It was like completely amazing. Fresh.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it was amazing. It was something that I'd never like experienced before. Like coming from a small town.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean?
Everyone knows everyone.
Everyone, yeah. And I wasn't looking to meet anyone. I was just sort of trying to concentrate on me. And I met this girl and yeah, you just, when you know, you know.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, she was just she's amazing. Like, I just can't say like a bad word about her. She's awesome. She's never like, we've never had an argument. Like, we've been together, this is our fourth year, and like,
fucking,
we haven't had an argument.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we literally, even last night, I woke her up about four times while I'm trying to creep around the kitchen, and like, it's the loudest floorboards in the world. And like, even this morning, she tried to put me in the doghouse. She tried, but she's too nice. But I'm just
she
like,
is.
I'm
she
really
is
sorry.
Nice.
And I'm like, am I in the doghouse? And she was like, yeah. Well, I'm like, all right, cool. But yeah, she's wicked, mate. But
did you get married in a couple of months?
Yeah, man, fucking hell. We've been planning it for 2 years. I proposed to her on my 30th birthday.
Fuck.
Yeah, and mate, it's in April and it's like, fuck.
It's going to be a big party.
It's going to be a big party, yeah. We've got like over 200 people coming.
Oh, shit.
It's going to be so wild. Like,
yeah, man.
And
because some of the people you know, and
oh, mate,
fuck me,
there's gonna be like some of the biggest like names in the barber industry there as well. So I'm gonna try and get it in Barber Evo magazine as a feature.
Oh, mate.
The first ever wedding, like fuck okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't like Now magazine. Nah, like it's all about. I want a wedding feature. Like, that would be sick.
That would be so good.
Yeah.
Just give an email like that.
I'm going to be like, look.
I'm getting married.
Poochie and Matt are my photographers for the wedding as well.
Mate, you've got
so you're going to have super clean, super edgy. And then Hubert, like, you know, Hubert Wujia.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable, like, videographer. Like,
unbelievable.
I think I'm, like, almost old enough to be his dad. And he's, like, one of the most talented people with a camera. He's videoing it. So literally, mate, we're gonna have like a feature like movie like for our wedding. It's gonna be mental.
I mean, I'm buzzed because I got a late invite, but
yeah
I'm just buzzed for that because it's gonna be the fucking nuts. It's gonna be so nuts.
Yeah, get ready, mate.
I'm so excited. Oh, mate,
I'm scared.
We were talking last night and I was just like, you're excited, and you're like, oh mate, and I was like, I'm fucking excited.
Yeah, I'm so buzzing, but like I'm like super nervous, but like really buzzing because I know
you're
like,
gonna be crying, really.
Oh, mate, I'm gonna be a nightmare. Like I cry at the best of times. Like fucking hell, I still cried to Titanic, and I've seen it like 20 times.
I think I've seen it a couple of times.
Oh no, mate, I've seen it like every time it's on TV. Like I'll watch it. I'm like, oh, record. You can just watch it on Netflix. Like, no, I must record that.
Is there anything you want to plug before we, or plug or talk about before we finish? Really? Is there anything coming up? Any projects you've got coming up that you can talk about?
None that I can talk about. No, like. It's not like super like top secret, but I'm trying to keep it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but it's to do with the brand, and then there's like another thing as well, which like I've wanted to do for like a long time, but I'm not talking about that either.
Interested. I'm very interested.
Ooh. Do it cliffhanger
soon, or
yeah, I fucking hope so, man. Because like one of them I've been working on for about almost a year. And it's almost there, like, but yeah, it's been like really fucking hard work, but yeah, I'm really hoping that one will be soon.
Yeah.
And then this other one, I almost did last year, towards the end of last year, and then I was just like, oh, fucking hell, like, it's going to take up a lot of my time.
Right.
So I was like, do I really want to, like dive into that, like, just before the wedding and shit?
Yeah.
Probably not a good idea. So I'm going to wait until we've done the honeymoon, and then...
Anyone else?
Maldives.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Like, we...
But you're not doing things in halves, are you?
Nah. So I'll be skimp for the rest of my life, but we just basically, like, we really want to start, like, thinking about kids, like, in the next sort of year or so. So we're like, when are we ever going to be able to afford the Maldives in the future?
Yeah.
Unless, like, I make a substantial, like, amount of money when I've got kids.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Which, do you know what I mean? As long as I'm, like, comfortable,
yeah, absolutely.
I'm all right. But so we just thought, right, let's go Maldives. Like, we leave 2 days after our wedding as well.
Nice.
So it's like we pack up, get home, send the dogs off. No, my mum's coming to ours to stay and look after the dogs for a week, and we're just gonna fly off over there.
Mate, I don't know why.
Hopefully, just shag for a whole week.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, just fucking yeah, it'd be amazing.
I don't know why, but. The Maldives seems to be a recurring thing on the two podcasts I've done, because I had my mate Andy on last time, and he was about to go to the Maldives with
no way.
The artist that he works with, and he was just out there for a week. Just he did two shows,
oh,
and then he was out there for about a week and a half, just
bastard,
lapping it up.
Ah,
oh. I was like, you are a prick. Aren't
yeah,
you?
That sounds amazing. I don't know why I'm saying bastard, because I'll be there in May, but yes, oh mate, I can't wait. I literally, we haven't had a holiday either, like. So, yeah, we're ready for this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you deserve it for the work you've done in the past
four years. Yeah.
Well, I think that's it, mate. I think we've done an hour and a half. No, we've done an hour.
Oh, get on.
Yeah. So.
Well, everyone's not too bored.
Yeah, if you're still listening, well done.
Yeah, well done. That's like...
Fuck me.
Either you were really bored and you had nothing else to listen to... Or you've actually enjoyed it. Yeah, but if you have enjoyed it, comment below.
Exactly.
Share.
Reviews. Exactly. Well, thank you, mate, for coming
down.
And yeah, we'll say bye when we've stopped recording this, obviously.
Yeah, cheers, mate.
Cheers,
mate. Otherwise, that'll just be like prolonged bye. Yeah, bye. Yeah. Yeah. And then you hear that like footstep going out the door. Nice.
No, it's not even stopped.
Oh, no.
That's embarrassing.